Thank you very much. Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Weller, and I'm going to be talking to you today about combining compressed sensing with parallel MRI. And we're going to compare it with uniform and random Cartesian undersampling patterns in K-space. So first, let me introduce magnetic resonance imaging. So magnetic resonance imaging is a very versatile and growing imaging modality, both in medicine, in spectroscopy, and others. And in particular, we can get images of all kinds of organs, of whole bodies, etc. For example, we have a 3D volume of a brain, a T1 weighted image here. And however, despite all the advancements in the last 30 some odd years in MRI, acquisition time still remains an issue for many types of acquisitions. For instance, this image took between 8 and 10 minutes to acquire in a 3 Tesla magnet. Now, if we can get faster acquisitions, we can lower the cost of the MR imaging for our subjects/patients. We can increase the comfort for those subjects because they're not in the scanner as long. And we can possibly also improve the trade-offs and increase the quality of our image reconstructions. And toward that end, we proposed a method called SPRING, which combines the parallel imaging method known as GRAPPA with compressed sensing/sparsity. And we use that to recover images from accelerated, that is, undersampled data. Now, we can investigate several different undersampling strategies. In the kind of compressed sensing world, the conventional wisdom is that random undersampling is required. However, we show that with the addition of parallel imaging in certain situations, uniform undersampling may be sufficient. So let's talk about K-space quickly. So K-space basically refers to the Fourier transform domain in which the signals are actually acquired. Then we can normally take an inverse Fourier transform, as shown here, to take the K-space data and recover images, or in a 3D case, a volume. Now we're going to sample K-space using a raster scanning approach. We're going to get a Cartesian volume here, where we essentially have a readout direction that's the raster scanning direction, sometimes called frequency encode. And we're going to assume that this direction is transverse to the axial slice plane. Hence, the axial slice plane is sometimes called the transverse slice plane. Now, the axial slice plane, we're going to acquire in two dimensions here a set of lines. So, and we can look at them as points in the plane. And we're going to undersample the points because it takes too much time to acquire a whole volume sometimes. So, for instance, if we undersample by 2 in two directions, we can reduce the total amount of scan time by a factor of 4. And we would get an aliased image if we just did an inverse Fourier transform because of the undersampling. Essentially, when we undersample, it reduces our field of view, and we would get overlap in the reconstruction. Now, to deal with this, there are two general methods that have been proposed over the years. There are probably others too, but I want to focus on these. So first of all, there's parallel imaging. In parallel imaging, essentially, we have a multiple coil setup, such as the 32-channel coil shown here. And the 32-channel coil basically gets images from a whole array of coils. And each coil gets a slightly different weighted image, basically due to its spatial position varying. So GRAPPA is a method that basically takes all these coil data in K-space, this undersampled data, uses a small block of additional calibration lines called ACS lines to calibrate a kernel, which is then used to fill in all the missing K-space and thus undo the aliasing. Now, compressed sensing works in a little different way in that instead of kind of designing a specialized observation model, we're designing a prior for our image. We're assuming our image is sparse in some domain. For instance, the brain images I showed before, we could consider them approximately sparse and compressible in a domain like the 4-level 9-7 DWT. Now, the Fourier transform is nice because it provides incoherent sampling, provided we undersample it in kind of a random fashion. And therefore, using the sparsity, the incoherent/random sampling, and a nonlinear algorithm like L1 Magic or others adapted to the complex value of data we have here, we can do compressed sensing reconstruction. Now, more abstractly, what we can think about this problem kind of in signal processing notation is a multi-channel sampling problem, where essentially we have incomplete data. So we have an image here that we desire to reconstruct I, and this image is multiplied in the image domain by a bunch of these coil sensitivities. Those are those weightings I mentioned in the parallel imaging setup. And then they're sampled in the Fourier transform domain. Notice that they're sampled the same Fourier transform coordinates for all the coils. And then we're going to assume the data is perturbed by some amount of additive white noise. Now we're going to assume the noise, while white across frequency, is actually some correlation across coils. And we can measure this noise covariance using a simple fast pre-scan. Now, let's look back at parallel imaging for a second to motivate the Spring framework. So parallel imaging methods such as GRAPPA work great at low undersampling factors. In fact, today, clinically, we can do acceleration factors of between 2 and 4 and still get high-quality images in many applications. However, as we further accelerate our scanning process to, say, 9, 16, 25, 36 times overall undersampling, our GRAPPA results clearly degrade, and we see the noise essentially blows up. And this noise amplification is a well-known phenomenon in parallel imaging. Now, there's an additional form of error that I want to just mention because it's important to this talk, and that is residual aliasing. So you can't really see that in these images, but you can imagine that due to the limitations of our coils, that the unaliasing from the GRAPPA kernel is not going to be exact if our coils don't have enough spatial variability to duplicate the high-frequency complex exponentials we need to synthesize the frequency shifts in K-space. Now, we know the noise here is not sparse, and therefore promoting sparsity can denoise our images. Now, compressed sensing can also undo the incoherent aliasing here. So if we have aliasing unlike what we saw before, but aliasing from random undersampling, compressed sensing can undo that as well. So that kind of motivates using Spring to improve this GRAPPA result using compressed sensing or sparsity. So we have two possible general types of undersampling frameworks, and there are many others. Now, uniform undersampling, we motivate by the kind of prototypical GRAPPA method expecting uniform undersampling. And GRAPPA can take uniformly undersampled data and unalias it up to P aliases. So basically, if you have a capital P coils, it can, in theory, undo up to an acceleration factor of R equals P. However, beyond that, you get coherent artifacts. Now, if we shift to a random undersampling setup, the application GRAPPA isn't so straightforward, and we'll address that shortly. But we can still, in theory, unalias frequency shifts up to capital P. Of course, if we have random undersampling, we may have areas that are very sparsely sampled, and therefore this may not be sufficient. However, in the areas that are not able to be reconstructed exactly, we typically get non-sparse or incoherent artifacts. Now, compressed sensing, when we apply it with uniform undersampling, we're violating kind of one of the basic requirements of compressed sensing, at least in theory. We get very limited unaliasing for that reason. However, compressed sensing, or rather regularizing with sparsity, is still very capable of denoising images. However, if we can combine compressed sensing with random undersampling, therefore we get the resolution of aliasing as predicted by RIP, coherence bounds, and so on. So then the question becomes, with Spring applied with these different sampling patterns, what gives us the best combination of unaliasing and denoising for our application? Now, just to be complete, I just want to mention that in between, there are various kinds of undersampling patterns. We kind of explored those as well. I mean, there's jitter undersampling. There's Poisson disk undersampling, which is a favorite in the L1 Spirit, well-known state-of-the-art method. There's tiled undersampling, tiled Poisson disk, and other combinations of these. So the list goes on and on. So the Spring method, just a general overview, essentially balances fidelity to the GRAPPA solution, that's the first part of the equation below, joint sparsity of the solution, that's the second part of the equation below, while preserving the acquired data. And the reason we want to preserve our acquired data is rather than taking a Bayesian view of things, we essentially don't want to kind of remove any information or somehow clean up our data in some way that's not really realistic. So therefore, we're really only going to mess with the unacquired K-space. So this optimization problem here picks the full FOV, so the full set of K-space, but we're going to preserve the data, so we're only actually filling in the missing K-space, and we can use that to simplify our optimization problem into an unconstrained one by operating the null space of the matrix K. Now, just a little bit of other notation here, we have our D, our data, our GRAPPA solution, and that basically can be pre-computed ahead of time if it only depends on the data. We have some low-resolution coil combination weights that we just use to provide some heuristic weighting to the GRAPPA fidelity. And we have a tuning parameter that we can set based on our confidence in the GRAPPA result. We also have a joint sparsity penalty function that basically could be like the L1 norm, or it could be something else to approximate the L0 norm in our analysis, because we know the L0 penalty is very hard to compute with this, or rather to optimize over with this. So we can use the convex L1 norm, which is nice convexity properties, or if we want to maybe get a little bit closer to the L0 penalty, we can use a homotopy continuation with a non-convex penalty function, such as the Cauchy penalty function, which has this kind of logarithmic increase as we increase W, which we can just say is a coefficient of our sparse transform representation. Now, we enforce joint sparsity over all the coils by applying the penalty function, whatever it is, not to the individual coefficients, but to the L2 norm of a coefficient across all the coils. So we actually have this hybrid penalty function here. And by applying this, we can essentially enforce joint sparsity across all the objects. The sparsity basically is considered to be from the object we're scanning and not some artifact from our coil sensitivities, say not having enough signal in an area. Now, various strategies exist for extending the spring method, which is originally proposed in the uniform undersampling case. And essentially, we're going to look at extending the Grappa method and then using spring essentially as is. So iterative methods such as iterative Grappa or a related method, spirit to Grappa, can handle arbitrary sampling patterns, but they are iterative in nature and therefore computationally intensive. Now, there are direct methods that exist already for radial and spiral trajectories, and we draw motivation from those to extend Grappa to arbitrary Cartesian undersampling using a direct method where we have locally applied kernels. And basically, for each block of k-space, we have separate Grappa kernels that are derived using ACS data. Now, because it's a direct method, we can still compute G of D, the Grappa result, ahead of time, and just use that throughout our spring computation, so we're not really increasing the computational complexity of the spring method itself. However, because it is direct and we're not really folding in the compressed sensing piece into the Grappa reconstruction as it's happening, it may not be quite as robust as iterative methods. But at least for this demonstration, we're willing to take that hit. So we divide k-space into a bunch of blocks of some average acceleration size. We can kind of choose ry and rz here appropriately. And then we reconstruct each block with a kernel defined for a local sampling pattern. For instance, if we look at the central block here and reconstructing it using only the central block and its neighbor, we can imagine how this extends with many neighbors. We can look at a point where we have a red x as our target that we want to reconstruct, and we can essentially look at the same pattern in the ACS region. And essentially use that pattern as a template and trace along the ACS region to get a set of fits to calibrate a kernel. So just kind of demonstrating that, you can see kind of the fits. Now we can also take another target point with a different red X there on the left and still get another set of fits. Now to show some reconstructions to evaluate between uniform random undersampling, we first turn to the extremely sparse yet popular Shep-Logan Phantom, and we multi-channelize it, pardon if that's not a word. And essentially, we construct an 8-channel Shep-Logan Phantom using a Biot-Savart law-based B1 simulator. And we add some noise where we essentially simulate noise covariance using the proposed measures for noise covariance from Romer's 1990 paper. And we simulate noise at minus 30 dB. And essentially, then we apply the spring method using both L1 norm, the Cauchy penalty, using both random and uniform undersampling to see what happens. So here I'm showing kind of what the Shep-Logan Phantom looks like before we multi-channelize it and what the multi-channel images look like before we undersample. Now, if we undersample uniformly and take the Grappa result, this is with an 8-channel, but we're accelerating at a factor of 16 approximately, discounting the ACS data. Essentially, we know a priori that Grappa by itself is not going to work. And we can see significant aliasing artifacts there on the left. However, applying spring, this is with uniform undersampling, mind you, we're able to balance the Grappa result with some additional sparsity regularization and actually get rid of a number of those coherent artifacts just by virtue of the fact that the Shep-Logan Phantom is so sparse. Using the Cauchy penalty function, which emphasizes sparsity a bit more than L1 by itself, can actually further reduce the amount of coherent artifacts, and we actually get a reasonably good quality image. using random undersampling actually improves things a little bit further in the spring side. However, we noticed the grappa result, because of the incoherence artifacts, it looks visually very unpleasing. However, still, even with all that noise that we see and all that error, adding the regularization / CS in spring does help matters. And we see, again, with the Cauchy penalty, we get a high-quality image. Now, if we turn ourselves to real data, we acquired a 32-channel T1-weighted MP-RAGE brain data at 3 Tesla. And essentially, we only extracted a small set of the coils from that to really kind of pull out the aliasing artifacts. And when we did the reconstructions, you can see the aliasing still remaining, even the spring reconstruction when we have uniform undersampling. However, when we turn the random undersampling, those coherent artifacts are gone, and we're left with kind of blurring because we had to turn up the acceleration so much. We see a factor of 25 here, which is very intense. And just in conclusion, I just want to point out that for the very sparse Shep Logan phantom, the Cauchy penalty function is effective at both denoising and undoing the aliasing, even with uniform undersampling. But for real data, sparsity combined with uniform undersampling doesn't really mitigate the aliasing that much, although it denoises the image. So random undersampling does increase the ability of CS to resolve aliasing in both sparse real images, which kind of correlates with the intuition and past results. However, we have to consider whether aliasing is really significant in real images. And I just want to show one more slide, if that's OK. And so basically, we just kind of go back, use all 32 channels of the data now, and do kind of a more a reasonable but still aggressive undersampling. And we see that in the result, it's mainly noise amplification that we're seeing, not aliasing at this level. So spring, is, even with uniform undersampling, is fairly helpful. And we actually don't really see that much additional improvement from random undersampling. So I'd just like to acknowledge my co-authors and funding, and also Fashwan Lin for providing his B1 simulator, which you can download online. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there a question? Yes?
Perhaps this is not of central interest here, but I just missed how you handle or take into account the RF coil or bias field artifacts. Do you explicitly model them somewhere and try to get rid of that or not?
Okay, so we're operating at 3T, and there we aren't going to see a significant bias, not as significant as we see at 7T, for example. So for the most part, we just ignore those types of artifacts in our model. And we essentially use a set of coils that we have very good both B1 plus and B1 minus performance with. So our results were very clean to start out with. You kind of saw our original image, and after just some basic normalization to take care of the attenuation in the middle, we were able to kind of deal with all those effects just by using a high quality image. But we would expect that if maybe our coil weren't quite as good and we do see those kinds of artifacts, we'd have to adapt our method to account for those.
So thank you. In order to keep the time, we'll move to the third